reach out to other lives that are hurting. It's not so much that they're in a storm as we could be in a storm, but they're not saved. Amen? And we want to make sure that we connect this day and fulfill who we are. Amen? And the purpose and the reason that the Lord saved us. Been speaking here in 2 Chronicles, we're still with Hezekiah. And once again, today is going to be a simple message, but I believe if you listen intently, that you will walk out this morning with a word of instruction for your life. A word of instruction that comes from the Lord can make the full difference in the outcome in your life. Amen? The title of the message here this morning is, Who and What Are You Letting In? Who and what are you letting in? It's kind of a long title, but I believe if you listen to the message, it fits. Who and what are you letting in your life? Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles 31. We find out last Sunday's message was that Hezekiah was made king at the age of 26. The nation was spiritually weak. The army was weak. And the Assyrian army was in hot pursuit. And here young Hezekiah at the age of 26 would have to discern of what to do first. To get them spiritually strong, or because the Assyrian army was attacking, to first build an army so that they may be able to be protected and then become spiritual. And we learned that through last Sunday's message that he went with getting everybody spiritually correct with the Lord. From the high priest all the way through the people. People were being sanctified. A momentum was taking place. And the Bible says that Hezekiah was doing what was right before the eyes of the Lord. And once again, the temple was open. The sacrifices were taking place. Worship was taking place. The instruments were playing. And God was honored and well moved by the call that Hezekiah had made. But here this day, we're going to be speaking about the battle. The battle. As we go to 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 20 and 21. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah. Doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple, and in the obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor, Lord. I pray that you continue to lead us by the way of your word, Lord. And that we too, even no matter what we may be facing, can be right before your eyes, Lord. That we too may be able to prosper, to prosper others. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, Amen. Being obedient, I put here, to the Lord brings forth great results. Whether you can see Him or not. When I went to the rehab and I became a director, I was just being obedient, but I couldn't see the fruit of my obedience, of my labor. But being obedient before the eyes of the Lord brings forth great results in its due time. The Bible says at the end, and so he prospered. And so he prospered. It don't mean, I put here, that he didn't have hard days, tough seasons that he had to go through. Remember, when he took over, they were all spiritually weak. The army was weak. I put here, believe me, he had his share of great problems. Hezekiah. There's one thing hard to do is getting people spiritually strong and taking them from one lifestyle way of living into the lifestyle of the Lord. If anybody, I believe, we see that he prospered, we can say, well, yeah, well, he prospered because he was being obedient before the Lord. But along with him prospering came many difficulties, many problems. But he stayed right before the eyes of the Lord is key. I put here, God's favor is able to bring great momentum and spirituality when according to our ability or our actions should have never been there, should have never come. How many know that sometimes God's grace just don't save us, just don't move us, but it carries us at times. It carries us. There's times that our attitudes and our actions should leave us way, way, way back there somewhere. But through God's grace and mercy and His love for His sons and daughters, at times He carries us. He don't abort us, He carries us. In chapter 32, we're going to read from 1. This is the message I want to preach here this day. We're going to be reading from chapter 32 from 1 clear all the way to 23, verse 23. If you don't have your Bible, it will be on the overhead screens. Amen. I want us to be attentive right now as the word is going forth. Amen. Chapter 32, verse 1 to 23. Let's read. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, here he is, he's being faithful, but here comes a war. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. Here poor Hezekiah was doing everything right, even before the eyes of the Lord, and yet a battle came forth. The Bible says that he laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city. And they helped him. A large force of men assembled and they blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside of that one and reinforced supporting the terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate, and he encouraged them with these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this, of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Later, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and all his forces were laying siege to Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message: "For Hezekiah, king of Judah, and for all the people of Judah who were there." Here's a heavy message that the adversary, the other king of Assyria, sent through Judah to Hezekiah to discourage them, to bring doubt, confusion. Let's read the letter that he sent. Verse 10 says, "This is what Sennacherib, king of Assyria, says: On what you are basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege?" When Hezekiah says, "The Lord our God will save us from the Lord of the king of Assyria," he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. Did not Hezekiah himself remove this God's high places and altars, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, "You must worship before one altar and burn sacrifices on it"? 13. "Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the other lands? Were the gods of those nations ever able to deliver their land from my hand? Who of all the gods of these nations that my fathers destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand?" Sennacherib's officer spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. The king also wrote letters insulting the Lord, the God of Israel, and saying this against him. First he's telling them about Hezekiah, now he's talking about the Lord. "Just as the gods of the peoples of the other lands did not rescue their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not rescue his people from my hand." Then they called out in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to terrify them and to make them afraid in order to capture the city. They spoke about the God of Jerusalem as they did about the gods of other peoples of the world, the work of men's hands. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to the heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers in the camp and the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land disgraced, and when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons cut him down with the sword. Here we find through this story a battle taking place, and the leader of the king of Assyria coming with a letter to discourage the people's faith and hope. Even though a momentum that was taking place already in the temple of God, in the lives of the high priest and the people, even though there was worship taking place again, the king of Assyria would come and write a letter with the confidence, with the boldness, because they had conquered everybody upon their path. And he came with this letter to bring confusion, doubt, that the God of Israel would not be able to deliver them from the king of Assyria. The Bible says there in verse 1, at the end it says that he laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. Siege in the NIV translation. And the word siege simply means when back in the days, even today they still do it. It's where there will be a great army is within fortified walls that they can't get to. So what they do is they surround that city. And they stop, they'll stop all military, to reload weapons and gasoline, whatever it may be. They stop everything going in and out of the city. They lay siege on it. In this case here, the king of Assyria would stop the water and the food from coming in, to Hezekiah and the people. Amen. So here it was a tactic that the king of Assyria was using because he couldn't get in to the fortified walls of the city, so he laid siege on it. Another word for the word siege is not a Hebrew or Greek. I believe, I don't know if it came from the Latin or, but it means to sit. To sit. When they would lay siege on a city, they would sit and wait. And eventually, because the water supply and the food supply was no longer coming into the city, they would have to surrender before they would die of starvation or thirst. And this is what the king of Assyria did. He laid siege there to the fortified walls of Hezekiah. The Bible tells us so. When you go to verse 11, the Bible reads, when Hezekiah says, "The Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria," he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. So here the king of Assyria was in no rush. He put a siege on the city. He stopped everything from coming in and out of that city, including water and food. Amen? Water and food. I want you to retain that right there. This little wire's it just put incorrectly right now, and it's really bothering me, but praise the Lord. So if I keep doing that, it's just because it's tightening up behind my neck. It wants to pull me back. Amen. I got to keep loosening it. He laid siege to the fortified cities. And I believe here, at times, the tactic of the enemy is to just sit and to see what you're going to do. He will lay siege on your life, lay siege on your family, on your household, on your calling, on your ministry. And he will just sit and see what you're going to do, how you're going to respond. I put here, I believe the enemy is always trying to lay siege from letting Jesus into our lives. If there's a work that the enemy does, is he'll lay a siege, amen. He'll use things in your life, distractions, to lay siege from allowing Jesus to come into your life. The Bible tells us that Jesus is is the water of life, amen, that he's, let's go there, John 7:37. The enemy will let you have victory in many areas. But one area he does not want happening is Jesus coming into your life. See, that's a decision we must make in having Jesus come into our life. John 7:37 reads, then Jesus declared, it's supposed to be John 7:37. Here the king was stopping the food and the water from coming in, amen. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Here this morning, Jesus is the only one that is able to quench your thirst, to fill the void within your life. He does not only want to quench your thirst, I put here, but he also is able to fill us to the point of overflowing for others' thirst also to be quenched. See, Jesus wants to fill us to the point of the overflow taking place within our lives with the living waters of Jesus. In John 6:35, the Bible reads, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Another scripture that says pretty much the same, Matthew 5:6, the very scripture that's close to my heart. This is, we got to do our part. Tell your neighbor, you got to do your part. The Bible reads, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. John 7:37 says, filled to the point of the overflow taking place in our lives. Jesus not only wants to fill us, but he wants to use our lives as those vessels that he can pour into and pour through. Being filled with Jesus, the living waters of Jesus, the bread of life of Jesus. That's what's supposed to be coming in and out of our lives. If we want to be those true men of God in the making, women of God in the making, youth of God in the making, if you want to make it through hard times, end times, darkened times, we got to be careful, as the title said, who and what are you letting in? I have a question here. It's almost like the title, what are you allowing in and out of your life? What are you allowing in and out of your life? Do you not know the Bible says that there's a battle taking place between the flesh and the spirit within you right now? And because there is a battle taking place between the flesh and the spirit, we need help. Because our flesh is strong. The desires of the flesh are strong. They're so strong that men and women and youth that know what is right still do wrong because there's power in the flesh. So it's important what we allow in our lives and what we allow out of our lives. It's important. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, the Bible reads, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit." There's that tug of war taking place, amen? "And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other." How many got conflict within your life right now? There's a battle taking place. And in every battle, somebody wins and somebody loses. "They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." Oh, that's it. There's a battle taking place in your life for you to trust in Christ, for you won't do what you really want to do. And too many times it's easier to do what we really want to do because that comes by instinct, that comes by the work of the flesh. But to do what is contrary to the work of the flesh, which is doing what the Spirit of God wants to do, that you're going to have to work at. You're going to need help in that area. You don't need help in getting in the flesh. Can I hear an amen, somebody, here this Sunday morning? You don't need help to get in the flesh. Who needs help to get in the flesh? So, bam, quickened. Thank you, ma'am. You don't need no help to get in the flesh. You can be saved for 20 years walking right before the eyes of the Lord and still need no help to get in the flesh. But if you're like me and you want to walk in the Spirit, how many know that we need help to do that one? To pull that off, we need help. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the help of Jesus. We need the help of one another. But too many times within the battle, we'd rather stay in the flesh. Because we don't have to work at it, and we don't have to do nothing. As if that is the solution and the answer to get victory within this battle within. Here in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, there's a battle taking place between the flesh and the Spirit. The lies of the enemy and the truth of the Lord. The decision is ours, are put here, who we allow to win. The decision is ours who we allow to win the battle that's within us right now between the flesh and the Spirit. The decision who wins is in you. It's in your hands. We know that the Lord can whoop on the enemy all day, but He gives us the decision to press in and to walk in the Spirit and to be transformed and to be changed. That other scripture says there's this conflict taking place for you won't do what you want to do. See, the Spirit of the Lord has come into our lives through salvation to give us power and authority to have victory, to be that new creation. No matter what the season is, sometimes the battle within us is there for us not to do what we really want to do. Because we're a people that can go quick in the flesh and stay in the flesh. The decision is ours who we allow to win in our lives. Who we allow to live or die. We can empower the flesh, quench the spirit in our lives. Or we can feed the spirit and quench and bring the flesh to an end. I put here, who are you laying siege on, the flesh or the spirit? Within your life, who are you laying siege on, the flesh or the spirit? What the devil wants or what God wants? Who are you laying siege on in your life? Are you putting the work of the flesh to an end and bringing the victory to the Spirit of the Lord within your life? Or are you quenching the Spirit of God in your life and allowing the flesh to continue to win? Because you don't want to talk to nobody. The decision is truly in your hands this morning. It's easy to put the blame on somebody else. But the truth is, what we let in and out of our lives, we're in control of. I was with the rehab. A few of the guys were doing jobs out there in Michigan, and I was giving a little devotion, and a little story popped up that I used in the church a long time ago. Some of you have heard it, but it just fits so properly right now. The decision is in your hands. Too many times we feel that the decision of us having victories in somebody else's life, doing right and doing good and doing what we say. The decision is in your hands. What you're allowing in and out of your life, you can't blame it on nobody, not even the devil. Ooh, that's a heavy one. Write it down. Not even the devil. Can't even blame it on the devil today. There's a story of these two brothers that hated this old man in the town square. He was a man of old age and had a lot of wisdom. He had a lot of wisdom. And every time he would come and share in the town square, and everybody was like, whoa. And they were just like, wow, this guy, he has a lot of wisdom. And he would come every Sunday and he would share. And instead of these two young brothers growing and liking what he was saying, every time he would share with his wisdom, they would get more mad, and more mad. And then one day they came together and they made a plan to trip up this old man. Just as the Pharisees and the Sadducees would always do things to have Jesus answer incorrectly, but he would always know what they were thinking. He always knew their motive. So these two brothers got together and said, that's it, man. We hate this old man. He gets all the attention. One of the brothers told the other brother, I got a plan that's going to make this old man be wrong for the first time in front of all the city square, before all the people. No matter which way he answers, he's going to be wrong. So the other brother says, well, what are you going to do to prove him wrong either way he answers? He says, I'm going to get this sparrow and I'm going to put this little sparrow in my hand. I'm going to let his tail stick out, but they can know there's a sparrow in my hand. And before all the people, I'm going to ask them, old man, does this sparrow live or die? Is this sparrow alive or dead in my hand? And the brother told the other brother, if he says it's alive, I'm gonna squish it. Then I'm gonna open my hand and it's gonna be dead. If he says it's dead, that the sparrow is dead, I'm gonna open my hand up and it's gonna fly away. The other brother agreed with him and says, sounds like a good one. There's no way he's gonna get the right answers. We're gonna get this old man. This Sunday, we're gonna get this old man. Remember, the decision is in your hands here this day. So Sunday finally came around. The young brother came. He had the sparrow. It was alive in his hand. And he waited for the old man to start speaking, for the crowd to gather. And everybody was listening. And then the young brother stood out of the crowd. He said, oh man, this sparrow in my hand. Is it dead or is it alive? And he said, the decision is in your hands. It was almost like a Jesus response to the Pharisees. They say, who is this guy? If you want victory, it's in your hands to have victory. Just not all victories come easy. Some you got to fight for. Some just don't come. Some do come like that. But in this ministry and who we used to be, you're going to have to fight for your salvation. There's a battle taking place. The book of Galatians tells us so. That the spirit and the flesh are contrary with one another, against one another. There's a struggle taking place. Just because there's a struggle taking place in your life, don't mean you're defeated. It's just an opportunity to have victory. But too many times when the struggle and the battle comes, we do nothing. As if that's going to take care and bring victory. In 2 Chronicles 32, 3 and 4, so here we, in verse 1, 2, the king of Assyria laid siege on the city there, the fortified walls there of Hezekiah. Nobody going in and out, and they were starving them of food and water. But Hezekiah and the city were in the spirit now. There was praise, there was worship taking place. They were right before the eyes of the Lord. There's sometimes you will be in situations where your ability is able to get you out. And there's sometimes that the Lord will put you between a rock and a hard place, that the only way you're going to get out is by His help and grace and mercy. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning. Remember, to get in the flesh, you need nobody's help. But to get in the spirit, my friend, you're going to need somebody's help. So here Hezekiah says, nah, man, he's in spirit. The king of Assyria has laid siege. They have surrounded the city. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. They stopped the water supply and the food supply. With everybody listening right now. They stopped the food supply, the water supply from coming in or out. And look what Hezekiah does in 2 Chronicles 32, 3 and 4. The Bible reads, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. There's that help. A large force of men assembled, and they blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. So here the king of Assyria has laid siege on Hezekiah. It should have been a checkmate. They were going to starve them. They were going to make them make sure they died through water, without water or food. So what does Hezekiah do? He sets a siege on them. He sets a siege on them. And he stops the water flow from coming into the land. Isaiah put here countered the attack. He could have just said, we're through. These guys have pulverized everybody. These guys have never been defeated. I'm never going to get out of this one alive. But he strategized. They're in the spirit. There's a momentum. He said, no, we're going to counter with our own siege. And we're going to stop the water flow. Hezekiah countered the attack by laying his own siege of stopping the flow of water to the enemy. I put here, we got to stop letting sin into our lives, laying siege in what God wants to do. We got to stop letting sin into our lives, laying siege in what God wants to do in and through our lives. Sin coming into your life is the way the enemy puts a stop and lays a siege from Jesus to come into your life. For you to be used by the Lord. When sin is taking place, the siege will allow you to be used of the enemy. It's one thing to be used of the enemy when we were lost and bound in addiction. It's another thing for the enemy to lay siege on the body of Christ when we've been radically set free by the power of the blood of Jesus, and to sit and do nothing and let the enemy put a siege on us. Letting no Jesus in and no Jesus out. As Christians, remember the word siege means to sit. My pastor always said the enemy's in no rush. He'll sit and watch to see what you're going to do about the siege that's been laid upon your life, your marriage, your family, your ministry. What are you going to do about it? Hezekiah countered the siege with a siege. Because he knew the difference of the power that the siege of a king of Syria had and the power of the siege that he was laying on the king of Assyria by God being his father, being his power, his source. Verse 7 says, Hezekiah thinking in the spirit, his people, there's a momentum taking place. He tells them, be strong and courageous. As Moses would tell Joshua before crossing over, amen. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. We need to know that here this morning. We need to know that we have a greater power within us. That if you were to put the flesh and the spirit to go box, amen, that the spirit is going to whoop the flesh. We need to know that the devil is under our feet. We need to know that God is on our side. We need to know when we can, his grace and mercy, for we are weak, he is made strong. We can't sit. We need to stand. Knowing who's in our corner. We got to be those men that know how to fight the good fight. Those women that know how to fight the good fight. Because the battle has already been won at the cross of Calvary. It's a fixed fight like I preached a few months ago. We need to know Hezekiah knew who was in his corner. Even though the vast army of Assyria laid siege on the city there, and even though they had a track record of annihilating everybody in their path, there was a momentum taking place in the life of Hezekiah and the people. And he told them, be strong, be courageous. Verse 8. He goes on to say, with him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the Bible says, and the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. Power of God here versus the power of man. Power of God versus the power of man. Even though they were outnumbered, even though surely just a little time before this, they were spiritually weak and with a weak army, had nothing going for them. But God would use one man to bring a revival, to bring a spirituality back to the people, an obedience to be right before the eyes of the Lord. Somebody's got to do it. Tell your neighbor, somebody got to do it. Question. Which one are you going to choose for your life? The power of the flesh of the hand, or the power of God in your life? Remember, the decision is in your hands. Whether you're going to grow spiritually strong or stay feeble and weak to the things of God. The decision is in your hands. God's done too much for me to go backwards, to go weak, and to get chicken. I'm too far in it. Verse 20 and 21. All this is taking place. There's a siege and a counter siege taking place. The power of the flesh and the power of God. A battle taking place. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace, and when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons cut him down with a sword. Put it back to the verse right before that one. What brought forth the angel of God? Prayer by Hezekiah and the great prophet Isaiah. Prayer by two men that came together in agreement. Even though they were outnumbered by a vast army, and to the naked eye they were through, it was just a matter of time. The enemy was just sitting and allowing them to get more hungry and thirsty as the time drew by. But yet Hezekiah put a siege on him. What brought forth the angel of God to defeat the army single-handed by two men in prayer? Prayer. It matters when we call out to God. It matters even if you think it's not working. It matters when we call upon the mighty name of Jesus. It matters when we come together in agreement in the mighty name of Jesus. Not Hezekiah, not the prophet Isaiah, not one of the priests, not one of the people had to do anything. Two men came in agreement, and they called upon the Lord, and he sent an angel. A relationship with Jesus, will always lay siege on the enemy, no matter how great the battle you're facing today may be. But sometimes you got to sit. I sit when I pray. Sometimes you got to sit, man, and just wait on the Lord. Sometimes you got to sit in prayer. Sometimes you just got to sit. Majority of the time, it's not making sense. Majority of the time, it looks like it's not working. It looks like you're spinning your wheels. But God has an angel. He has an angel. He's just waiting for us to send that angel. And God knows when to send that angel. He knows when to send the angel. Too many times we want the angel right now to handle business and take care of him and her and all that stuff, man. They're driving me crazy. Can you just annihilate them, please? Miguel and Alex will make fun when I try to use the word annihilate, something like that. Amen? Knock them out! Get rid of them! Sometimes we got to sit. But the enemy also will sit and wait, because he ain't in no rush. Because he knows as long as day goes by and another days go by and you're not coming to Jesus, he knows sooner or later you will be spiritually dry. He knows for you to have victory, you got to be in spirit. And the word of the Lord, the bread of life's got to come in. It gives life to fight. He knows the living waters of the Lord needs to come in to refresh, to fill, and to overflow where you can be used of God. Sometimes the enemy just sits and waits. You know, in Texas, that's what buzzards do. They'll fly around in circles before the animal's even dead. They'll see that animal on the road in a desert highway, all crippled and on its last day or whatever, and they just start circling. Some of them will just find a perch and just sit there and know that it's just a matter of time before that animal that is bigger than them will die, and then they come and just peck that carcass to pieces, leaving nothing. Vultures, big old birds, man. Huge. And you know something's dead or about to die when the vultures in Texas are circling like that. They circle. And all they're doing, just sitting and waiting for that animal to eventually die. And that's what the enemy does sometimes. We're going crazy. We're in disbelief. We're running this way, running that way. And the enemy's just kicking it. Just kicking it. See, and I want to see if he's going to pick up the living, the bread of life and the living waters. And he just waits and he sits, knowing as the time goes by, you're getting weaker and weaker. So then he can come in with a little lie that would never have deceived you. But now since you're weak, hallucinating a little bit, you'll bite to that little lie that you would have never bit on. It don't have to be a crack pipe. It don't have to be heroin. It don't have to be a woman, the opposite sex. Be a little thing you bite on. Because he knows you're spiritually weak. When we're spiritually weak, we usually make bad decisions. Like to lay siege on our lives from letting Jesus. Who really don't want Jesus in their life? Raise your hands here this morning. We all want Jesus in our lives, but sometimes we sit and do nothing. And we lay siege in Jesus coming into our lives because we still want to do this and this and this on the side. We allow sin to come into our lives to lay siege in what God wants to do in our lives. Because we want to make a point with that other person. We want to get back now. Instead of getting the word of the Lord and allowing the bread of life to enter. Allowing the living waters to come in. Even if you're confused, even if you ain't understanding, you can still stay nourished and stay in the Spirit of the Lord. See, this is for those that are in the meat and potato stuff, amen? Even though you're even though everything's going wrong, I want to let you know this day that you can stay in the Spirit. You can stay with a little nasty attitude against the work of the devil. How many have gone and seen the war room? Amen? You got to go see it, man. You'll see what the power of prayer does on the other side of what you can't see. But too many times, we'd rather stay stinky thinking and allowing stinky thoughts of the devil to come in and come in and come in and lay siege on our lives from allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do. And we just sit and do nothing. When the word of the Lord has told us to stand and fight the good fight, run the good race. There's a struggle and there's a fight taking place in our lives right now. Who are you going to allow to win? The choice is in your hands. Those times in the world where I would get in a fight with 15, 20 guys. But the last thing I was going to be called was a punk. So I said, I don't care if you guys are going to kill me. Boom, 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 boom. We take off con patadas and everything, right? Because I wasn't going out a punk. In the prison system, there was time 30, 40 guys jumping. I wasn't gang affiliated. But I played a lot of sports where stuff kicked off. Numerous of times where all these guys wanted to jump. I said, let's do it, man. Let's do it, man. This guy's crazy. I had a package coming every 3 months, man. I wasn't going to pay tax to everybody on the yard. Go down fighting. That was lost and bound mentality. Now in Jesus, I still got the same mentality. I'm going to go down fighting. When it's my time to go, it's because the Lord has called me home. There's a battle taking place in all our lives, not just a few in the church. In every one of our lives, there's an inner struggle between the spirit and the flesh within our lives. What are you going to do about it? You're just going to sit down and let the enemy take siege of your marriage, of your children, your house, your job, your ministry? Are you going to say, no, 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 no. I may not be feeling it right. No, 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 no. God's word says, I'm going to believe God's report, not what my mind is telling me, not what the devil is saying. You can have total victory in the storm. But you need to be refreshed. You need to have the living waters and the bread of life coming in and out of your life in order to be spiritually strong and stable, in order to throw blows and fight. But too many times we ain't spiritually strong. We just surrender, catch an attitude. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, you do. You wouldn't be here right now. So as the worship team makes their way, we're going to go to war at the altar. Because it is the Lord that is fighting our battle for us. We're going to have to choose one or the other, the flesh or the Lord. Who do you choose to believe? Because we already know what the flesh is capable of doing. It brings a guaranteed defeat. Guaranteed. But when we trust in the Lord, we just trust in the Lord, he's going to honor that brother, that sister. But we just stay sitting around and moping and all that stuff, on God's best day, he will not feel sorry for you. On his most compassionate day, he will not feel sorry for you. Especially when he's giving you the goods, the weaponry to fight the good fight, which is his word. That's why relationship is crucial. Everything in the message always goes back to relationship. A true relationship with God will do anything. A true relationship between my wife and I will do anything. Because I can't stand it for 5 seconds when we're not seeing eye to eye. That's the truth. I hate it. It brings something to my life that's dirty, that don't feel good. I said, I'm never going to get used to that one. So I either humble myself, she humbles ourselves, and we keep saying throughout the day, I love you, I love you. Even sometimes when we ain't feeling it, we still speak it. A lot of times we say, Jesus, I love you. But do you, by your actions? There's a battle taking place right now. There was a time where all we knew was the wide road, where we didn't have, the decision was not in our hands to make it. It was just the flesh. But
But now, through salvation, the Spirit of the Lord has entered your life, and now there's a battle taking place. But one now that you can have victory in. But there's still a confusion and a tug of war taking place. And that's why some people say, man, I had it better off when I was in the world. Because there wasn't that inner battle taking place. The spirit was, it was just the flesh. That's why it felt good. That's why you could do it 24/7, all night long. As we stand this beautiful Sunday morning, it's time we let Jesus in and take the siege off of our lives of letting Jesus in. That's what that battle's about. It's the flesh is trying to stop what Jesus wants to do in and through your life. If we keep winning little battles, you know, you can't build that much confidence. But when you win a big one, when you know it was the hand of God, that's where our confidence can build. That's where we can grow and say, man, I can do this one. I'm in battles 24/7, people. 24/7. The enemy's always trying to put siege on my life for me not allowing Jesus in on a daily basis. Man, this morning, I never drink a refresher in the morning. I was, man, why do you need coffee that early in the morning, man? I get up and vámonos. But today, and right after the morning, I said, Felipe, go get me a refresher and my taco burrito now. So you may say, Pastor, I thought you were in the spirit, but you're under the refresher. Partly true. But I know the Lord has spoken this day. And he's given us the decision to do what is right and to have victory. If we've taken heed and we apply what we've listened to this day. Oh, my Lord, listen to me here this day, man. It's been 18 years and I've been in 1,000 war, hand-to-hand combat, all that stuff. Toe-to-toe with the devil, with people, all the above. But I've never given up. And the Lord will continue to grow my life and take me from glory to glory. This message 7 years ago would be so rebuking. I'll be calling people punks up in here. Why don't you just leave the church? Could care less. You ain't helping me anyhow. And all that stuff would come out. The battle within you is true. It's real. But so is Jesus. Hezekiah said, yeah, he might have the vast army and all that. But he's operating under the flesh of the hand of man. We got God with us. The old commercial says, got milk? What are you going to continue to allow to come into your life? The lies of the enemy? Because that will put a siege on you. Are you going to humble yourself before the living God? Because the living waters have been poured out this day from my life, from my experiences. The bread of life, the word of the Lord has come forth from my mouth. It's not just the written word, is this day was the spoken word. It's able to set you free, man, but you're going to have to respond. Nobody's going to do it for you. I wish I could run to everybody's houses, you know, hit 50 houses a day. I can't. I can't do that. Jesus wants to bring you victory, but it's important what you let in your life. Is it feeding the flesh or is it feeding the spirit? Because whichever one you feed the most is going to win. Even though the spirit is by far more powerful than the work of the flesh, the decision this day is in your hands. Do you want to continue to allow the enemy to keep siege on you and not know Jesus in, know Jesus out? I'm going through it right now, but I got Jesus coming in, and at the rally, I'm going to have Jesus coming out. Because I know there's people out there dying right now. On my big, hard season, there's people dying. I'm still way beyond them because of what the Lord has done in my life. It was the cross. It was the cross. It was the blood of Jesus that took the siege of sin from our lives. Jesus paid the price for us to have victory. Not to see his sons and daughters week after week, month after month, year after month, defeated. The cross, the blood of Jesus, broke the siege of sin upon our lives. And it brought truth, resurrection power, a truth that the Bible says is able to set the captive free, free indeed. My life has been set free from sin. I know it has. No battle, no devil can tell me that my life has not been set free. On my worst day, I know that I have been set free by the power of the hand of God. Nobody else. God did what mom couldn't do, what dad couldn't do, what all the money in the world couldn't do, what women couldn't do. God did. While I was still behind prison bars. And he would continue to do it through the rehab. No lie of the enemy can convince me that I haven't been set free by the blood of Jesus. He's done too much for me to stop fighting and to take a chair. You better believe, man, I'm stripping down to my shorts and little tennis shoes, amen? I got some with little comforter pads in them right now. My dogs are barking right now. For those that are real educated, that means my feet ache and hurt right now. But there was a time where they were hurting and I was running with the devil. They were bald at the bottom. I didn't have blisters. There was just shell sacks under my feet because my shoes never came off. And I would keep on going. And I would keep on going. I would keep on going. And I would keep on going to get high and to lose everything and to die and raise up, to die and raise up, to go to prison, to get out, and to do it all over again. So now when my feet hurt, it gets me excited. Because I'm going to press through the pain on my feet and everything else that's aching. Especially when I get sweating like I am right now. I'm all sweaty right now. It gets me warmed up. To know right after this, I'm taking off to my house. Iron some shorts real quick, put some socks and tennis on, and off to the rally. The van is loaded, up and loaded and everything. Hot dogs loaded. Sodas, check. Flyers, check. The Word of God, check.